Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Everybody, welcome to the Saturday edition of the Stochastic NBA Strategy Show. He's Adam. I'm Ryan. Shout out to Prize Picks for being our presenting sponsor this morning. Adam, how are you doing? How's your Sam Patties?
I'm good. Any Saturday morning show that I'm not hungover is a win, especially when it comes after St. Patrick's Day. Didn't know how that was going to go. Sat around after the show with Lofty yesterday. Like, do I want to go out? Do I not want to go out? And it was just like, I'm just going to regret this so much tomorrow, and I'm going to stay in and not deal with all of the idiots that are out. So, I feel good. DFS was awful yesterday. Played a bunch of Larry Nance. Of course, Joe Val decided to show up. Always seems to work out that way. But, it was fun. I love this time of year. College basketball, you have, you know, NBA still going on, NBA basketball final going on. So a lot of stuff to watch. Good time. MMA today. How are you doing this weekend?
Good. I was thrilled to see a number 16 seed beat a one seed in the tournament last night. Shout out to Fairleigh Dickinson. Yeah. Unreal. They were 28-point underdogs. It was not a dominating win like UMBC did that against Virginia in 2018, but unreal just to see those type of stories. We saw Princeton do it the night before, and now who knows, hopefully one of those two teams can shock the world and get to the Sweet 16.
I was excited about it, too, because the only bracket I did was the DraftKings Onyx bracket, the 100K to first. And I had Purdue losing next round, so I was really excited. But I had them losing to Memphis, so then I was not thrilled with how that game ended.
Yeah, I'm going to humble brag myself in the stochastic bracket. I am currently sitting in first among our colleagues. So
there you go.
It's unfortunately about March Madness brackets. It's not about how you start, it's how you finish. Just like any.
Well, to be fair, normally my March Madness brackets are absolutely dead based on how I start. So not being dead after the first 2 days is certainly a big win.
Yeah, and it's Alabama's in their own class and Houston's in their own class. We'll see, but there's so much variance in this college basketball.
Who do you have winning?
In our work, when I think the one that's in first has Alabama winning. It's Alabama.
That's who I have to.
Yeah, hopefully they stay out of trouble heading down to the wire there.
Yeah, you know, don't kill anybody.
Besides that, let's go ahead and get started on this slate. I mean, a little short little 6-game slate. It's another Saturday slate. A handful of teams are in back end of a back-to-back. A lot of teams are playing for playoff positioning. Some are fighting for play-in game spots. So keep an eye on news. It's just kind of the nature of March NBA. There are teams that are going to be resting players as they gear up for the playoffs. So just keep in tune with that. Let's go ahead and get started. The first game on the slate, we've got Philly and Indiana on the first game over here. It's a Philly team that's also on a back end of back-to-back. And Indiana's been a very heavily discussed team of just like DFS, just because of the guys that they've been missing this week so far. They got some of the guys back last game, but now we're in a spot here where we got to take a look in terms of the Philly side of things. They're in a back end of the back-to-back. James Harden and Joel Embiid certainly can be guys who get rested for just rest purposes, load management purposes. But it's a Philly team where I'm always going to look to Embiid and Harden, and everyone else kind of gets brushed by the weight side. Embiid is $12,000. He sure can light it up in this spot, 11-4. And over there on DraftKings, over there, 9-8 for James Harden. He's been great. He had a triple-double last game, a modified triple-double. But he's another great option here. Embiid and Harden, let's lead off there, Adam. How do you feel about those two guys?
Yeah, they both look great as long as they're going. I selfishly hope that Harden sits today, but doubt that he's going to. Philly, only 2.5 back in the East. I kind of assume that barring injuries, they're not going to be looking to rest these guys too much down the stretch. So assuming they're both in, you know, good spot against Indiana. You're getting a ton of minutes from these guys. They didn't have to play a lot yesterday either, which makes me think it's very likely they both play. You got a blowout win over Charlotte. So Embiid only had to play 29 minutes. Harden only played 31. Harris only played 22. Typically in competitive games, you're getting 38 plus minutes from Harden. You're getting 36 plus from Embiid. It makes them both look great here. They're both pulling plenty of ownership, and I think that they should. Beyond them, you know, you have a $5,100 Tobias Harris. He's getting 16% ownership on DraftKings just because that is a pretty cheap price tag for somebody that's likely to play 30 to 32 minutes in an appealing matchup. We know he's the fourth option offensively here, third on a good day if he passes Maxey, but still should just be on the floor enough to have some opportunities at that price tag. And then Maxey at 6,600, not getting any ownership. I think he's fine in tournaments just because he is going to play big minutes, but that's pretty much where he should be priced, I think.
Yeah, and it's just an exciting spot to target Embiid and Harden in an Indiana spot. I think you highlighted the Harris price tag. He's 5,100 and in an Indy spot. He can certainly find a way of getting there. Shouldn't take much, but he'll become more appealing if one of those two guys sit for sure. Oh, for sure. Any final thoughts on Philly before we go on to the Indiana side?
Just to your point there, if somebody were to sit, I know we saw it the other day. I don't remember who sat, if it was Harden or Embiid, but it doesn't matter. It was, but you got like Tyrese Maxey on that slate getting a ton of ownership, as he should have. You got a bunch going to Melton. Everybody completely ignored Tobias Harris. And don't do that if one of those guys sits.
Yeah, definitely consider him a strong option if one of those two guys sits for sure. I think he's kind of in play at that price tag as is. Everyone hit that like button for us. Subscribe. It's your first time joining us or listening to us. Welcome to the stream. Excited for you guys to join us tonight. And also, I want to give a shout out to our one of our new exciting platforms that we're sharing some content on, Chalkboard. Check out Chalkboard. We launched a new channel on Chalkboard. It's kind of like a sports betting, sports media group messaging app platform where you can just talk things with all things sports. So think about like YouTube chat all day, but just hashing it out with our guys behind the scenes. You're going to see guys like Greg, Lofty, Josh in there just chatting it up with all things basketball. They'll be talking about something about Prize Picks for sure. So definitely hang out in our Chalkboard, and you can find that link in our description. Check out that free app right now. It's an exciting and new platform for us where you can check out even more content outside of YouTube. So don't miss it on Chalkboard. Let's go ahead on to the Indiana side of things. And over here, Indiana is going to be another situation where we're going to have to monitor what the new situation looks like here. We already got word that Tyrese Halliburton is going to continue to miss some games. Chris Duarte, I believe, has already been ruled out. And last time we saw the return of TJ McConnell, and he did TJ McConnell things as he just found a way to light it up fantasy-wise as well. He comes in at $6,100 on DraftKings. I think he's going to get a lot of ownership by the time his contest starts. $5,900 over there on FanDuel. Same story for TJ McConnell. Let's start with McConnell. And how good of a play is McConnell today? Do you agree with his projected ownership right now, 10 in the morning?
I think he's a decent play. If he plays what you're expecting him to play, he's still fine at 6,100. We know he's a good point per minute guy. And typically, even when he's come off the bench this year in these situations, he's played plenty of minutes. You have 7 total games that TJ McConnell has played off the bench with no Tyrese Halliburton. He's still averaged 26.5 minutes per game in those games. Last game, he played about 30. He's averaged 1.35 DraftKings points per minute, only 18.9% usage, 48.2% assist percentage. Now, you do expect that per minute production to come down, but still, if he's going to play 26, 27, 28 minutes at 6,100, he's going to look fine. But with that price tag rising, he does become riskier because if you get the 25, 26 minute part of that range, he's probably not going to put up a score that you really need. If you get the 30 plus minute part of the range, then he certainly can. So he does become riskier than when he was 5K. When he was 5K, I didn't bother reacting to him coming off the bench instead of starting at all because I thought he was still just a very obviously good play. 6,100, it certainly matters more. But as a result, you know, you also see him projected for only 18% ownership instead of the 40 that he was pulling the other day at 5K.
Yeah, and alongside TJ McConnell, we saw Buddy Hield light it up last game. He's all the way up to 6,700, 7,500 over there on FanDuel. Expensive price tag for Buddy Hield, a super scoring dependent guy, but the usage can certainly find his way there. Talk to me about Buddy Hield and rest of the starters that you have any inclination of getting above the field on, or any bench players if that really interests you today for the the Pacers side of things.
Yeah, I mean, Hield's interesting because Halliburton out should increase his ceiling just because, you know, Halliburton's not a high usage guy, but relatively like higher than McConnell. And you do, in theory, get the potential for more playmaking for Hield as well. The interesting thing, though, is we haven't really seen that show up this year. In 12 games where McConnell's been in and Halliburton's been out, only a 17.9% usage rate for Hield and only a 15.9% assist percentage, just shy of a fantasy point per minute. So I think that the upside is still there. I'm not, you know, completely writing him off because of those rates, but it is interesting to me that we haven't really seen that and his price tag elevated. So I think, you know, again, he has a ceiling, but certainly a risky play at 6,700. I don't mind taking some shots on Turner at 7,800. If he's able to avoid foul trouble, he should play a bunch of minutes here. We know he's a good point per minute guy. Jordan Wara started last game. He's 5,400. He played 33 minutes. He looks fine, but still also, you know, pretty much a correct price tag. Nemhard's up to 6,400, which is a pretty tough sell given that TJ McConnell does cut into his production when they're on the floor together. So I think Indiana, you know, kind of across the board here is playable, but they're not the same level of really good plays that you saw in recent games when Turner was out and then last game when McConnell was really cheap.
Yeah. And just want to go back in the chalkboard side of things. Keep in mind, it's free. Shout out to producer Jacob behind the scenes for dropping that link in the chat. But yeah, this game's going to have some potential news, especially on the Philly side of things. And there's TJ McConnell ownership that we'll have to worry about up until lock. But any other things in this game before we move on?
Nope.
All right. On to the Minnesota game we go. Minnesota, unfortunately, going to be without Ant Edwards. And Ant Edwards is super fun to watch. And he's in a walking boot. He hurt that ankle pretty bad. He's going to miss some time for sure, in my opinion. I find it highly unlikely the Minnesota training staff is going to roll him out there on the back end of a back-to-back in a walking boot after hurting that ankle. This Minnesota team is on a back end of a back-to-back double overtime game here in Chicago. I believe they barely lost the game, too, after the Edwards injury. He got hurt pretty, I think, in this first half and obviously didn't return here. And this is going to make for a very appealing Minnesota team now without Anthony Edwards, obviously their lead usage dog here. And we saw Mike Conley turn back the clock and went super aggressive here. Mike Conley's going to come in at 5,600 and 5,800. And we were talking about Conley behind the scenes. You said in the post game, he just said he has to be super aggressive. And I think he's going to have to carry that over today at this price tag. I know we're not accustomed to Conley being a high usage guy for a couple years now. It feels like when he was in Memphis, it's kind of classified as a lead usage guy with him and Gasol there. But since then in Utah, he wasn't certainly that guy when he shared the court with Donovan Mitchell. Now Anthony Edwards is gone. Who's really going to take the shots here? Who's going to start for this Minnesota team? Is it Nickeil Alexander-Walker?
I think they probably go Taurean Prince. One overarching caveat, we need the injury report for Minnesota. They did play double overtime yesterday, like you said. They can't afford to lose games, so I assume they're going to not be too cautious with their guys. But you do have Rudy Gobert that is constantly questionable after – well, he didn't really play double overtime because he fouled out, but on a back-to-back. You have Mike Conley, who is old and played 46 minutes yesterday. But assuming everybody is in other than Anthony Edwards that, you know, normally would be in – I expect Taurean Prince to get the start. He started the second. Yeah, he started the second half last game. They could go Nickeil Alexander-Walker, but I think it's more likely that they keep him in his bench role and then maybe he just sees some extended minutes there. But I'm expecting a starting lineup if everybody is in of Conley, Anderson, Prince, McDaniels, and Gobert.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Jalen Nowell remains out, right?
Probably. I don't know what his timetable was. I know he didn't play yesterday. They could also spot start Austin Rivers. That wouldn't be too surprising. Okay.
Yeah. Keep an eye on that injury report. A non-zero chance Jalen Nowell could crack the starting lineup, but it'd be odd. We'll see. He's been out for some time with a knee tendinopathy. So a lot of moving parts for this Minnesota team, but really a focal point on the slate when a high usage guy and Anthony Edwards is gone. And they expect some sort of price correction to happen until he returns. But other guys we should consider looking at, Slo-Mo 7,100, 7,500 over there on FanDuel, McDaniels 53 and 55 on DraftKings and FanDuel respectively. Can we look to other guys in the starting lineup, even a Gobert, even if he finds a way to get an extra couple of touches his way? How can we target the rest of the starting lineup without Anthony Edwards?
Yeah, I mean, I think the starting lineup is going to look good because – you know, and again, assuming that they're all in, but like you said, Mike Conley at 5,600 just needs to take on a bigger role offensively. Now he's been good in terms of getting assists. You know, he's been fine from a fantasy standpoint, but if you're going to get increased usage there and potentially increased playing time, he's certainly going to look better at 5,600. Kyle Anderson's up to 7,100 already. So there's some sticker shock there, but keep in mind, he's already been playing big minutes. He's been very involved. He's flirting with triple doubles or getting triple doubles pretty much every game, it seems like. And now you can see him take on a bigger role offensively with Edwards out. He is certainly someone capable of doing that. He can facilitate. He can score. He typically doesn't need to, but he can. So I think at 7,100, he looks decent, even though, you know, that is a tough price to stomach when you just, you know, look at the name and look at the price, because we're so accustomed to a different role. Rudy Gobert at 7,200, pretty much status quo, should give you around 30 minutes. He's averaging about 1.25 fantasy points per minute since Mike Conley joined this team. So that price tag is still not great. Nikhil Alexander-Walker at 3,600. Again, I expect him to come off the bench, but I also expect him to play low to mid-20s. And at 3,600, that's going to look pretty good. Jaden McDaniels could take on a little bit bigger role offensively as well. I know that was specifically mentioned in the post game also. He's only 5,300 and not getting much ownership. Torian Prince, 3,900, if he starts, is going to look like a good value. There's just a ton to like from this team. And if anybody does get ruled out on the back-to-back, it just gets even better.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Oh, yeah. I think that's something to for sure keep an eye on. Yeah, I definitely don't want to miss out on any like changes to the starting lineup. They did play a double overtime game, so keep an eye on that situation. We've got some questions about the early games over there if people need help, but our presenting sponsor PrizePicks has an appealing situation to target in the early games, especially Mitchell Robinson. He's taking on the Knicks. He kind of caught some heat for his Snapchat comments the other day. He kind of made a comment saying he's tired of playing cardio. The Thibodeau Center is coming back to haunt Mitchell Robinson, and he was just frustrated. His minutes have been all over the place. And right now over there on PrizePicks, you can take the under on his 8.5 over there. And make sure to take advantage of our deposit bonus. You'll get a free month of Stochastic Plus Platinum when you make your first deposit on PrizePicks. But take that under on Mitchell Robinson in that Snapchat narrative of his rebounds. I know it's a Jokic spot, but he was complaining the other day about his cardio minutes and just not being involved in the offense. He barely gets any touches, but it's an interesting spot there. Take advantage of that Mitchell Robinson under over there. Shout out to our presenting sponsor, PrizePicks. Onto the Toronto side we go. This Toronto team also, it's been interesting to look at for the DFS purposes since the trade, especially Siakam. He bounced back the other day. And this team is fairly healthy in terms of their regular rotation guys. Nick Nurse is going to roll out. You can go to the starters here in a Minnesota spot. I have no issues. We saw Gary Trent was very impressive, and his price definitely went up from $4,300 to $5,200, where you get the three-point bonus here. But a team overall, just kind of like Siakam's going to get is projected to get the most ownership right now. He comes in $8,500 over there on DraftKings, comes in at $8,600 on FanDuel. Solid play on both sides, in my opinion, in this Minnesota spot. But I think you can certainly take some chances on some of these other starters. Yes. They're kind of priced appropriately right now, $6,300 for OG, $7,400 for Scottie Barnes, and Poeltl and Van Vliet. Poeltl, $7,300, I think, is a solid mid-tier option, $7,500 over there on FanDuel. If you're not playing Siakam, I'm definitely considering taking some chances on Jakob Poeltl. How do you feel about this Raptors team? Getting some moderate ownership, not super high right now.
Yeah, it's a team where I don't think there's one guy that looks, you know, like a can't-miss play, but you have six guys that are just like, good. All five of the starters plus Gary Trent. It's not hard to see how they could have big games. They did pull back the minutes a little bit on their starters against OKC. You got 35 minutes from Scotty Barnes, only 34 from Siakam, 34 from VanVleet. They did lose a couple minutes at the end of that game to garbage time as well. I'm not overly concerned about that. We did see a like 10-day stretch earlier this year where Nick Nurse became a sane person and just played his starters 34 to 36 minutes. But until we see that really start to happen, I'm not overly concerned. Typically, you're getting 37, 38 minutes from Siakam, VanVleet at least, 32 or so from Poeltl, 36 from Barnes, 36 from Anunoby, anywhere from 24 to 34 from Trent. So it just makes all of them relatively appealing in tournaments. You still have that cheap price tag on Siakam, who did remind us last game that he is capable once in a while of having a big game. He's played pretty poorly over the last couple of months, but still has that ceiling in him. VanVleet obviously has come on a bit as the year has gone on. So it's just mixing in guys here and there from Toronto, relatively low owned, still very high ceilings based on how many minutes they play.
Yeah, and it's just because of the relatively low owned, they make for appealing tournament options. One of those guys can certainly pop off and get a score that matters for sure. Hit that like button for us. Hit that subscribe button for us. We're going to move on to the next game. Sacramento going to Washington here. Sacramento, I believe, is almost locked up a seed. Locked up a playoff spot. I think that's what broke. Or they reached like 40 plus wins for the first time in like 10 years. But whatever it is, it's exciting times in Sacramento. And in terms of DFS wise, I always like a Sacramento matchup just because of the pace they play at. Offensively, they just run the show. And on the opposing side of things, we'll touch on Washington. They'll be in some appealing spots as well. But Sabonis 10-2, you're going to like some options here. 10-5 over there on FanDuel. Power forward center eligibility on FanDuel, center only on DraftKings. Opportunity cost at the center spot when Embiid is available. It's certainly going to be Joel Embiid, but Sabonis has been very impressive himself. He's been getting triple doubles sprinkled in a bit more often of late. 10-2 for Sabonis. I have some interest going to Sabonis, and De'Aaron Fox can certainly find a way to get there. Kevin Huerter hurt his hamstring last game. I believe in the first half, we saw elevated minutes for a guy like Malik Monk. I don't know if Huerter will play. I'm skeptical with the hamstring injury. I think it would make sense for him to rest. I know he had an MRI. I did not see if they released results from it, but Trey Lyles, I believe. Day to day. Okay. So keep an eye on the Huerter situation. I think that
homecoming narrative too.
Oh yes.
Well, sort of. He's from New York, but he went to Maryland.
Yeah, he did go to Maryland. Yeah, maybe he's going to try to boss up and play. Keep an eye on that situation for Kevin Huerter. Trey Lyles, I believe, is questionable as well. So, talk about the Kevin Huerter situation because that will open up some minutes to be solidified in their like two man wing spots. How do you expect Mike Brown to approach that situation?
Yeah, if Huerter's out, it's actually a pretty big deal, even though he's not, a great DFS option. Because for one, we saw Terrence Davis start the second half with Huerter injured last game. He still only played 5 minutes in that half. So it would be very risky, even if he, is in the starting lineup here. But he's 3K flat, and we know he's a good point per minute guy, where if he plays well, he can take some more minutes. So that's a spot you can gamble if you were to start in place of Huerter. But then also, it just means there's a strong likelihood for increased playing time for Malik Monk, who ended up playing 29 minutes last game. He's coming in at only 4,700 on DraftKings. It helps to solidify those minutes for Harrison Barnes and Keegan Murray. Murray only 4,300, Barnes 5,200. Solidifies minutes for Kessler Edwards. He's 3,900. Not a great point per minute guy, but you are likely to see a bit more playing time from him if Huerter is out as well. So it doesn't make anybody necessarily look like can't miss plays. Because again, like Terrence Davis, if you knew he was going to play 24 minutes at 3K, he'd pretty much be a lock. But you certainly don't know that now that Kessler Edwards is ahead of him in the rotation, even when he starts a half. But it does at least make it so you can like take some shots on those guys. Whereas if Huerter is in, certainly no interest in Terrence Davis, like wouldn't even expect him to play. Not really any interest in Kessler Edwards at all. Murray and Barnes would still be playable, but they just wouldn't look quite as good as if Huerter's out.
Agreed. I want to break down the Trey Lyles questionable situation because he's been getting some extra minutes of late over the last couple of weeks here. If Lyles were to be out, is it Chimezie Metu who's going to get some additional burn here? I know he's only he's 3K with the center spot. The opportunity cost is high. But do you think it would be Metu who cracks the rotation, or is there anyone else that you think?
He didn't really get anything extra 2 games ago when Lyles was suspended. You got pretty much a normal rotation, except for, you know, Harrison Barnes played 35 and a half minutes. So, like, you know, a minute more than normal. Keegan Murray played 29 and a half. You know, his playing time had been down a bit recently, so it made sense that he played a bit more without Lyles. Herter played 28 in that one. Monk played 24. Edwards played 18. There wasn't really anything too crazy. Like, Terrence Davis played 5 minutes. Alex Len played 5 minutes. So at least in that game, they sort of took the approach where no one guy just soaked up a bunch more minutes outside of, you know, certainly you could say Kessler Edwards picked up a few more. But if Lyles is out, the way I would approach it, so if Lyles is out and Herter is in, the way I'd approach it is that it just solidifies the playing time for Herter, Barnes, and Keegan Murray. Kind of like I was saying, if Herter is out, Barnes and Murray just are a little bit safer. If Herter and Lyles are both out, Terrence Davis probably actually plays. You know, that is something that, you know, I said he only played 9 minutes last game, only five in the second half when he started. But you had Trey Lyles play 18 minutes in that game. He played about nine in the second half. If you're taking those minutes away, and basically those minutes, like Kessler Edwards is playing the Trey Lyles position instead of the Kevin Herter position, you do probably get more minutes available for Terrence Davis in that situation.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting kind of sneaky spot for solidifying potentially Keegan Murray minutes. Becomes a little bit more interesting at 4,300. His minutes have been volatile of late, but keep an eye on the Herter Lyle situation. Kind of sneaky news over there for Sacramento in a great game environment for sure against Washington. Let's hop on over to the Washington side of things. Click that like button for us as we talk about Washington here. Washington also, yes, back end of a back-to-back as they played last night. It's kind of their big three here. Porzingis, Beal, and Kuzma, they're three usage guys. 8-9, 8-6, and 7-6 for three of these guys. And kind of with that price tag, I'm most intrigued to go to Kuzma. I know there was a lot of little memes being passed around as Kuzma started off the game with four turnovers. He was at negative 2 points for a while. But
I think he got the negative three.
Sorry?
I thought he got to negative three, but that would be six, so probably not. I know it was really, really bad, and I had a lot of them yesterday.
Yeah, so, well, we'll see if he can bounce back in a great Sacramento game environment here, but it's those three guys, and I think they're getting a very limited ownership right now. Do you have a preference in going to any of these three guys, or kind of just looking elsewhere? And the rest of the Washington team, just because of this team's healthy and no one's really resting, don't have really any interest to going to anyone else.
So Washington's really interesting to me here because they're not getting much ownership. They're in a great spot against Sacramento. This game has the highest total on the slate. Washington's fighting for the play-in game. Right now, they are tied with Indiana, a half game behind Chicago, two games behind Toronto, and Washington wants to get in that game. I don't expect them to rest anybody. You know, obviously, if they do, then adjust accordingly. But assuming that they don't, Porzingis, 8,900. No problems with that. He should give you 34 minutes or so, assuming a competitive game. Bradley Beal's likely to give you around 35, 36 minutes if this game's close. Great bounce back spot for Kuzma. Hopefully people stay away from him. But only 7,600, I'm with you. That price tag really stands out. You know, Beal and Porzingis, when all three guys are active, you're typically getting around, on average, 1.1 fantasy points per minute from Kuzma, 1.1 from Beal, 1.2 from Porzingis, give or take. And you're just getting this big price gap between them and Kuzma, which doesn't make a ton of sense. So I like going right back to him, even though he was so unbelievably bad yesterday. All three of those guys just look like very appealing tournament plays at sub 10% owned. $4,700 coming into Monte Morris. He's back in the starting lineup, should give you 28 to 30 minutes. No issues with that. The rest of the team, pretty tough to get to. You know, Gafford at 4,800. You know the type of upside that he has. He's just not playing enough minutes. Like, you're typically getting 22 minutes or so from him. Makes it pretty tough to get there. Like, maybe they try and go to him more to slow down Sabonis, but at the same time, that probably just leads to him fouling and going right back to the bench. So, I don't have, you know, very high expectations for Gafford, especially at a position where you have a massive opportunity cost. Avdija and Kispert both have the potential to run into big minutes. Kispert in particular has been playing a lot recently off the bench, but he's also Corey Kispert. You're just never going to be that excited about getting him.
Yeah, it's something to keep an eye on there with that limited ownership. I think those are all great points to take some chances on Washington in a great Sacramento spot. And also, for those of you guys who are in a legal betting state, if you have BetMGM available, get up to $1,000 in paid back in bet credits and a month for your Stochastic Plus Platinum. Find the description of the link in the bio. Just get all the information you need. Make sure to take advantage of that exciting first bet with BetMGM if you're a first-time user over there. You got to at least deposit only $10. So Just make sure to sign up, find all the deals and find all the details there. And also, if you know anyone who has a legal, if anyone has a gambling issue, make sure to call or text 1-800-GAMBLER over there. So check out that exciting BetMGM offer for sure. So let's keep on moving to the next game. Click that like button for us. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And it's another exciting game where something matters here. And
yeah, so next game, Golden State at Memphis. Golden State 4-point dogs, 235.5 total. In that game, Memphis on a back-to-back after playing, I believe, double overtime yesterday, maybe one overtime, some number of overtimes against Sacramento. So again, you know, a situation where we're going to have to keep an eye on one overtime, have to keep an eye on, you know, who they're resting, if they're resting anybody. But for now, assuming that the guys that are normally in are in, you're getting Golden State, like I said, 4-point dogs. Draymond should be back after his one-game suspension. He's the only guy from Golden State pulling any ownership, 26% on DraftKings, 6,100. No real problems with that. You're just getting 30 to 32 minutes from him. Nothing special. He's just sort of a last guy in if you get there. If you don't get to him, you know, you shouldn't be too concerned about it. Typically doesn't give you, you know, a massive ceiling. We have Steph. We have Curry, Steph and Clay, rather. Both obviously high upside plays, but pretty much correctly priced on Curry at 10-3. He's only pulling 6% ownership. I'm a little bit more interested in Clay. Only $7,500. Shooting guard, small forward eligible. We've seen him rebounding well recently. And then you also just get the potential of Clay going out there and going nuts because he makes a bunch of threes. Obviously, that is a potential outcome as well. Kevon Looney coming off of a massive game. He doesn't look quite as good with Draymond Green back. That typically does cut into his playing time. But at 5,500, still, you know, looks decent as a tournament play. Nothing else that really stands out. Anthony Lamb is back with the team. He signed a real contract the other day. And yesterday against Atlanta, he did play 21 minutes off the bench. But, you know, again, you have Draymond back here. So probably fewer minutes available for him. Nothing really from the bench that I want to get to. I think it's pretty much Green's the easiest guy to get to. And then any of Curry, Thompson, Looney are fine in tournaments. Are you back yet, Ryan? Okay. On the Memphis side, a lot more ownership coming in here because this team is just still mispriced. Not quite to the extent that they were yesterday when they played San Antonio, but still just a very inexpensive team. Desmond Bane on DraftKings coming in at $7,800. Jaren Jackson, $7,700. Tyus Jones, $6,900. Brooks at $5,000. Tillman at $5,400. Like, these guys are all just mispriced for Steven Adams, Brandon Clark, and John Morant to be out. We know Desmond Bane gets an increased usage rate with no Morant. He also sees an uptick in playmaking opportunities because he is the backup point guard behind Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones is over a fantasy point per minute guy, giving you 33 to 34 minutes a night. Jaren Jackson giving you around 32 minutes, not only seeing increased usage without John Morant, but also more center minutes with no Brandon Clark to back up Xavier Tillman. So that makes Jackson very good. All three of those guys are clear priorities on this slate. $5,000 for Dylan Brooks is fine. You know what you're getting with him, but he does get an uptick in usage with no John Morant. You just have to hope he gets some defensive stats, knocks down his shots, but $5,000, certainly a good price tag there. Xavier Tillman at 5,400. You know, we saw 21 minutes from him yesterday. You know, again, his playing time has been kind of sporadic recently. They've been able to go to some smaller lineups, whether it's Santi Aldama playing more, or yesterday it was Luke Kennard getting 31.5 minutes, including overtime. So Tillman's certainly risky, but if you were to get 28 minutes from him, he'd look pretty good. If you want to take some shots on Santi Aldama at 4,100 or Luke Kennard off the bench, either one is fine. There's a ton of ownership coming in right now to Luke Kennard at 3,400, pulling 26% ownership on DraftKings. To me, that is an absurd ownership level. He did play a ton of minutes yesterday, like I said, but you've kind of just seen alternating playing time between, you know, sometimes it's Aldama that gets it. Sometimes David Roddy's the one that gets low 20s in minutes. Sometimes it's Kennard, and it just feels like chasing here. So I'm not trying to say that Kennard's a bad play, that he can't get there, but I think that 26% ownership coming into somebody that could easily just play 20 minutes is a little bit extreme. But from the Memphis side, Bane, Jackson, Jones, clear priorities. Happy to get to some Dylan Brooks, happy to roll the dice on some Aldama, Tillman, or Kennard in tournament lineups. But as far as Kennard goes, preferably when ownership comes down. My screen just froze, so I don't even know what the next game is.
Did you talk about Golden State?
What did you say?
Did you talk about Golden State?
I did.
Okay, cool. Sorry about that. Yeah, it had a Zoom malfunction there. But Yeah, just an exciting NBA game environment. We'll see if anyone gets double tossed here between Brooks and Draymond Green, but it should be fun to watch. But no, I think I was listening in on the Memphis breakdown there. That makes a lot of sense over there. Some appealing DFS spots for sure. Let's hop on over to the next game. It's going to be between Miami and Chicago. Miami is coming to Chicago. Chicago is also on the back end of a back-to-back. And this Miami team has been playing a little bit better of late. But it's been very interesting to see what happened with Bam Adebayo. He's just not been performing as well as a real-life basketball perspective. I don't know if the fit with Kevin Love is bothering him. But in this Chicago spot, Bam comes in at $7,900, $8,100 over there on FanDuel. And then Jimmy Butler, you know, just coming back to Chicago, it doesn't matter anymore. But he's all the way up to $9,700 on FanDuel, $8,500 on DraftKings. Tyler Hero is only – he's dropped down to $7,000, and I like going to that price tag quite a bit. How do you feel about this Miami Big Three as I believe Kyle Lowry remains questionable? We'll see what ends up happening with them.
Yeah, I mean, the Big Three here looks fine. Pricing pretty much where it should be. You know, Butler coming in at $8,500. He's been playing really well. Seems like maybe he's actually healthy for a brief period of time and putting up big numbers. No real issue getting him at $8,500. He is only small forward eligible on DraftKings, so that limits your flexibility a little bit, but nothing too crazy. Hero at $7,000. I pretty much always fall into that trap. It never works, but he just plays big minutes. And for that price tag, I think he's a little bit underpriced for the playing time that he gets. You're typically getting 36, 37 minutes from him in competitive games. So I don't have any issues getting there. Bam Adebayo at $7,900. You have seen his rebounding take a little bit of a hit since Kevin Love came. I know Josh was talking the other day that he thinks it's mostly fluky because it's been more on the offensive end than the defensive end. But either way, at $7,900 for Bam, you're getting around 35 minutes in competitive games. At 6% ownership, I am more than willing to just hope he figures out how to rebound again. Kevin Love's getting some ownership at $3,700. No real problems there. Like, you're getting 18 to 22 minutes, but he is only $3,700. He's getting 11% ownership. I'd feel differently if you were getting like the Luke Kennard 26% ownership, but at 11%, I don't really have a problem with it.
Yeah, it's Kevin Love. We know he can do some damage in that limited amount of time. Any other interest in taking some chances on Oladipo or Caleb Martin? I know we've touched on some kind of high-owned potential ownership in a guy like Kennard, but must pay up a little bit for a guy like Caleb Martin, or is that just not?
Martin's playable. Like, it's just he keeps getting closing minutes. I'm just scared because I don't know that really is going to keep happening like 100% of the time. But we've seen him seemingly ahead of Oladipo and Max Strus in the rotation. Granted, last game without Oladipo, you did get 33 minutes from Strus and 30 from Martin. But typically, at the end of games recently, we have seen Martin. It's just, I don't think I'm going to need to really get to him too often. But he's getting 3% ownership. If you wanted to go there instead of, say, like Kevin Love, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's just the closing minutes what caught my eye there. It's just a sneaky tournament option. That's really about it. I don't think you need to get super cute with that type of play, but it's something to keep an eye on if that continues going forward in the Chicago spot. On the Chicago side we go. I think keeping an eye on their situation here as they're in back. They played that back into the back-to-back against Minnesota, double overtime here. But we'll see what ends up happening, who plays, who rests. Because I think there's a non-zero chance. I mean, playing all those minutes and going right back to it, we'll see what ends up happening. But DeRozan, 83, Vooch, 8K, Levine, 8,700. I like DeRozan at that price tag. I know Levine has been playing better of late for sure. It's a tough Miami spot, and they're not getting that much ownership compared to some other teams here. How do you feel about the Chicago team? Do you have a preference in any specific player that you want to get above the field on?
So it's a tough spot, but you do have some decent pricing, especially, I mean, it's either you're going to have all of the guys in and you're talking about, you know, an $8,300 DeRozan probably playing 37, 38 minutes at 2% owned, or Levine, 8,700 at 1% owned. Like, in tournaments, that's going to be appealing. Vooch, 8K, only getting 6%, no problems there. Or you're going to get like DeRozan resting on the second half of a back-to-back, and it's going to make Levine and Vooch look much better, even though the matchup is difficult. So one way or the other, I'm going to have some interest, at least as contrarian plays in tournaments from these main three guys. Alex Caruso is going to be an interesting piece as well because he's only 3,400. if he's in and starting, he's likely giving you around 26 minutes. Not a great point per minute guy, but only 3,400. But if he's out, you know, he missed a couple of games ago. He was questionable and played yesterday. If he's out on the second half of a back-to-back, that does open up more minutes for a $3,500 Coby White, a $3,200 Ayo Dosunmu, potentially a $3,800 Patrick Williams. So that news is going to matter, even though, you know, Alex Caruso himself kind of sucks from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah, and it's going to obviously clog up the backcourt there a little bit here, but tough Miami spot. They're not going to get that much ownership. So I think there is some appeal in tournaments for sure for the Chicago team. Any final thoughts on that game?
Nope.
Yeah, let's click that like button. We're just chugging along here this Saturday morning. It's Boston going to Utah here. Boston, another team on a back end of the back-to-back. And they played Portland last night. Tatum is already ruled questionable. Malcolm Brogdon, I believe, is questionable. We'll keep an eye on the injury report to get that official ruling here. But it's against the Utah team. Tatum comes in at 10-7. Jaylen Brown is 9-3. Marcus Smart looks dust in terms of just offensive production of late, but he's 5,300. How do we go up on Boston here? I know it's tough to go up on with all this injury situation here, but the Utah spot, certainly some appeal.
Yeah, certainly an appealing spot. We did get news last night. Al Horford said he can play today. I find that to be very unfortunate. I would like him to sit badly for my best ball teams. We had Jason Tatum questionable yesterday. He played. He played well. He played 37 minutes. I assume he's good to go today. I very badly hope that he's good to go today, but we'll have to keep an eye on that as well. Assuming, and Brogdon missed yesterday, I'm assuming he's back and that everybody else plays. It is a good spot against Utah. You're not getting any ownership coming into Boston, which just turns them into one of those teams where you're not prioritizing them. There are better plays to get to, for example, everybody on Memphis, basically. But when you can get Jason Tatum at low ownership or Jaylen Brown at low ownership against Utah on a relatively small slate, that's always going to be an appealing spot to get to. If Brogdon's back, he's likely playing 26 to 28 minutes at 3% owned. Smart pulling 7% at 5,300. Like you said, he's been playing like garbage recently, but one game sample size, you know, anything can happen. The opportunities are there for him. Horford and White both look fine as well. So across the board, assuming everybody is in, just guys that I want to get to as contrarian pieces in tournaments, but no one guy that stands out where I'm like, oh yeah, I expect to have, you know, 20, 30, 40% of him.
Yeah, I think it's just going to come down to who plays, who sits to really get that type of thing. And I don't know if we get it before lock. So it's going to be very kind of like the game within the game with late swap over there for Boston.
I mean, we'll at least get an injury report, so we'll have like Q tags or not.
But yeah, I think it's tough to like make serious stance without getting one of those studs in or out, or if both of them out. They're right now only favored by 4.5. So again, I mean, traveling to Utah is never easy, but it seems like someone's going to sit. So definitely take a look at that. Onto the Utah side we go. Click that like button. Lauri Markkanen, $9,600, and he's been paying that off a lot more times than I'd expect. 92 over there on FanDuel. I believe Jordan Clarkson is questionable, 7,800, 7,400. Really tough Boston spot on the other side of things. And Walker Kessler, 6,900. To say that I would have any interest at anyone at these respective price tags, I'd be lying. I don't think it's tough to justify them at these current price tags. Now, if Clarkson were to be out, that would open up some minutes and extra usage to be sprinkled across the team. How do we attack Utah in a tough Boston spot?
Yeah, tough spot. Prices have adjusted. We haven't had a game where Jordan Clarkson and Lauri Markkanen played together in a very long time. I think I saw that Clarkson went through a full practice yesterday. That could be wrong. He's still listed as questionable, but pretty sure that's what I saw. I assume for now that he's finally going to return. And if that's the case, I have nothing. This team, like, even if Clarkson's out, I don't love this team, but at least you could, you know, make the case that there's a little bit more usage for Markkanen. Horton Tucker has, you know, a clearer path to success. Olynyk at 5,500 could decide to play offense and play well. But if Clarkson's back, I really have trouble getting to any of it. If I had to go to something from Utah, I guess you can gamble on a $5,500 Olynyk. Like, we know that he has that offensive game in him, but also no confidence in him actually performing here.
Yeah, it's a really tough Boston spot, and it's going to be really interesting to see how this ownership pans out. For those of you at home who just don't have enough time building any lineups, I think on a Saturday, I think you guys should definitely check out Lineup Generator. You can save a bunch of time and you can curate your portfolio of lineups based on whatever you want. Check out the lineup generator experience. And also, if you haven't joined Stochastic Plus yet, any of our packages you want to try out, use promo code SCORE, 50% off any package over there for your first month with promo code SCORE. Find that link in the description. It's something that I definitely recommend checking out as well. Any final thoughts on the slate? I mean, there's a bunch of moving parts with the news of the Saturday slate. I think the Boston news, especially with one of the studs sitting there, two teams playing a back end of back to back, double overtime. Any thought, like key news that you're keeping an eye on throughout the day before we make our decision points with our lineups?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is just we need the injury reports. So right now with the information we know, there's not that many Q tags. It's just we have a ton of teams on back to back, so we're not even going to find out until 1:30, 2:30. So yeah, I mean, like if you're planning on going out, you know, hitting the bar, watching March Madness for a couple hours today, maybe don't register in advance. See how you're feeling around 5:30 or whatever. But yeah, it's going to most likely change in the next couple of hours. We're going to get some guys ruled out on back-to-backs. There's a lot of them, and it's a Saturday slate, like you said. So there's nothing specific right now, but I'm sure stuff's going to pop up.
And also, there's nothing wrong if you want to keep yourself mentally sane and watching some March Madness and enjoying your Saturday. But definitely check out all the tools that we have. You'll definitely put yourself in a good spot to take advantage of it.
Also, MMA at 12:30. Don't forget, early start.
Yes, and you can definitely use that score promo to get all those MMA tools. Any big fights or is it
Usman, Leon Edwards.
Oh, that's a huge fight.
Yeah,
that's a huge fight. I mean, that's going to be fun to watch. Where are they fighting?
That's a good question.
London?
Oh, yeah, London.
Yeah, that would be my guess with that 12:30 start time. But no, that should be a great fight. Huge prize pools in MMA every week. Definitely check that out. Thanks so much yet again for joining us. Shout out to producer Jacob for taking care of those things as usual. Thank you to Adam. Give him a follow at ShipMyMoneyDFS. Feel free to follow me as well. And have a great Saturday. And stay tuned with all the content that we have for the rest of the day.